Right on. Good evening to all. It is certainly good to see everyone out this evening. Today, we'll actually get started on lesson number three here. And lesson three is entitled, Does It Matter If I Examine Myself? And I put a little subset to it is, who do I see in the mirror? So we'll get started on lesson three. But before we get started, let's go to our Father in a word of prayer. Our Father, my God in heaven, we are truly grateful, Father, for this opportunity to assemble on yet another occasion to study your most holy word. Father, we pray that you direct our minds and our hearts, that we may want to continue to learn more and more about you, so that we can certainly see those deficiencies in our own life and correct them. Father, we ask that you are with those of our number that might be physically ailing and put your healing hand on them, if that be your will. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. Guide our minds and our hearts throughout this hour. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, one of the verses that I've kind of gone over several times here is out of Psalm 139, where we see a Psalm of David. And over in Psalm 139, David talks about the fact that God knows man, and that he truly knows man, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. David also talks about the fact that, you know, those things that God despises, those behaviors, and attitudes, and things of that nature, that he himself also despised those things. And over in Acts chapter 13, we see that David is actually described as a man after God's own heart. And he's described as a man after God's own heart because he did God's will. So, and picking up here over in lesson three, the word of God presents many truths to us. And one that we see that runs throughout the Bible is that we as mankind are truly sinners. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 here. And that verse reads, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." And certainly, we can look over in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and we're told that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And of course, if we go over to chapter 6 and verse 23, we actually see what the wages of sin is, the wages of sin being death. So the next verse I want to take a look at here, we have several additional verses that talk about this exact same concept. We see 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36. We see Psalms 143 and verse 2. I want to take a look over in Romans chapter 3. And verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And can I get a volunteer for those two verses?
Sure. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. We have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one.
And let's also turn over to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. And that one verse reads, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And again, the point that I wanted to make here is that, you know, again, you look throughout the Bible and you see that we as mankind, we are truly sinners. And unfortunately, sometimes we really don't know ourselves as well as we think we know ourselves. You know, we can kind of look at ourselves and think that, you know, perhaps we're above the fray in a sense. But the simple fact is, we too are sinners. And, you know, it is extremely difficult sometimes when you are actually trying to. It's easy to see someone else's faults, and it's much more difficult to see your own faults. And as you look at letter B here, there's actually a couple of servants of God here that I put down. The first being King David. Certainly, when you look at King David, you know, perhaps the first thing that pops into mind is the sin with Bathsheba. And let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to do a little reading here. We're going to take a look at those first 13 verses. 2 Samuel and verse 12. Or I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 1 here. Second Samuel chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Before I go into this, let me take a step back here. Over in chapter 11, again, what we do see is that David sins with Bathsheba, and David also tries to cover up his sin. And in trying to cover up his sin, he actually sends Uriah out to the forefront of this intense fighting so Uriah can essentially be killed. Uriah is killed in the offset of it. So basically what we see is that David sins and he tries to cover up his sin. Over in chapter 12, and this is 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting with verse 1, we read the following. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of its own food and drank from its own cup and lay in its own bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives, into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of his son. For you did it secretly, But I would do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die. So, you know, one of the things, let's turn over to James chapter 4 and verse 17 first. Again, you know, you think about what David did here, and the simple fact is, David certainly knew that he had sinned. I mean, first off, he tried to cover it up. And again, you know, in trying to cover it up, he had a man put to death in doing so. So over in James chapter 4 and verse 17. That verse reads, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So the point that I wanted to make here is simply that David knew exactly what he was doing. He tried to cover it up and everything. But at the same time, you know, sometimes we don't necessarily see the things we do. But again, it's very easy to see others' fault. If you begin to think about David here, you know, not until he actually came in contact with the Word of God was his sin actually revealed to him. So not until he actually came in contact with Nathan, this servant of God, was his sin actually revealed to him. And over in James chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 21, actually. James chapter 1. Starting with verse 21. And these verses talk about the Word of God being like a mirror. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. You know, one of the first things we do, in the morning time, I know for myself, before I end up going to work, you know, I'll look into the mirror and I'll try to correct those things on myself that need correcting. We try to correct our deficiencies. I would tell you that I would comb my hair, but I don't have much to comb. So we'll skip that part. But the fact is, there are things that we want to correct. So when we actually look in that mirror, we take time to correct all of those deficiencies before we actually go and present ourselves to the world. Think about the Word of God. The Word of God is that mirror. And as we begin to read into the Word of God and we see those things that we need to correct in our lives, think about whether or not we take time to actually correct them. Or if we're simply like this hearer, we kind of read the Word, we turn away like we turn away from the mirror. How many of us actually turn away from the mirror without actually correcting those deficiencies on ourselves? And we just go out into the world looking, you know, perhaps slouchy or what have you. How many of us actually do that? I would probably think that most of us actually take time to make sure we're presentable before we go out. And again, you think about the Word of God. You know, we have the Word of God here. We take time to actually hear the Word of God, to study it. But again, do we actually take time to make those corrections in our lives? And certainly, I'm sorry.
Well, I was thinking about something in Matthew chapter 7.
Sure.
I was thinking about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 about the beam in your own eye mm-hmm. and the speck in your brother's, and how it's very much a relief when we have that free from that deficiency. But it also makes us serviceable. We can help someone else. Absolutely. When we are free from that sin, just like David could be free from that sin,
right,
that guilt, and be serviceable to God once again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And certainly, you know, the first thing is, again, being able to repent and to come back to God. And again, just like Brent said here, you know, at that point, we find ourselves able to help others. You know, if you think about David here, David, and we can actually read about several sins of David. You know, we see over in 2 Samuel chapter 24, you know, David took a census. And when you begin to read through this, you begin to see it was more of a military type census. But the simple fact is, you know, David did something that God did not want him to do. And he ends up taking this census. And the one thing about David is David recognized when he sinned. Again, after coming in contact with the word of God, he recognizes when he sins and he repents. He repents and he comes back to God. And certainly, you know, that's the one thing about the word of God. Again, you know, you can read through the Bible and there's plenty of individuals, plenty of men of God that have fallen into sin. And again, the simple fact is when you know you're in sin and when you know you need to make a correction in your life, again, consider whether or not we actually make that correction. Again, we talked about this. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 13 here. Acts chapter 13. We're going to look at, I think, verse 22 here. We'll start with 21. And again, the simple fact is, you know, David was not a perfect man. He's actually just like all of us. I mean, we tend to sin from time to time. But verse 21 reads, "And afterwards they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." So the simple fact is, even though David sinned from time to time, certainly David knew to repent, come back to God. And David, you know, here's a man that did the will of God. And, you know, we talked about it earlier over in Psalm 139, the Psalm of David, how David himself, again, despised those things that God despised, those behaviors and things of that nature. Those that hated God, these individuals were counted as enemies to King David here. So, you know, the point that I'm trying to get at here is simply that, you know, when you begin to look at David here, he truly was a man of God. Those things that God despised, he despised. When David knew he was wrong, he repented, and again, he came back to God. We can also take a look at Moses. Let's turn over to Numbers. Chapter 20. And starting with verse 7 here. Numbers chapter 20, starting with verse 7. That verse reads, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to this congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you should not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And again, you see a situation where Moses here is given, you know, specific instructions from God, and yet he chooses to do something else. And again, you know, the simple fact is there's certainly consequences for our actions. And, you know, why Moses would do this, I don't know. I'm sure he was somewhat frustrated dealing with the people of Israel here, but at the same time, certainly he had instructions. We also see Peter listed him as well. And let's turn over to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, and we're going to start with verse 66. And before we go to this example here, does anyone have any questions or comments or anything? Okay. Mark chapter 14. And starting with verse 66 here. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and this is Mark denying the Lord, and he would do so on several occasions. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you are Galilean and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time, the rooster crowed. And Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you would deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. You know, you think about Peter here, and certainly Peter was a very vocal member of these apostles. Oftentimes when you see the apostles speaking, you see Peter actually speaking for them. And so Peter is definitely a vocal individual. He's boastful at times. He's very confident at times. And one of the things you also see about Peter is, you know, Peter really doesn't know himself as well as he thinks he knows himself. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. We're going to start with verse 31. Luke chapter 22, starting verse 31. I think one of the things we see here, you know, certainly if everything is somewhat in a calm state, you know, we are willing to do a lot of things, and we say we're willing to do a lot of things. But when we're actually put to the test for the sake of Christ, you know, the question is whether or not we're going to hang in there and actually do what's actually right. And we see Peter, you know, we just read about how he failed, and at the same time, how he went away weeping in doing so. Over in Luke chapter 22 and starting with verse 31, we read the following. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And of course, as you continue on, then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you would deny three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you without money bags," I'm going to actually stop there. But the point that I wanted to make here is, again, you know, Peter, certainly a very confident and somewhat boastful individual, in that he thought for sure that he would never deny the Lord. He thought that he was ready to go to prison with Jesus, and not just go to prison, but be put to death with Jesus as well. And again, when he had that very opportunity, when it was presented before him, again, we saw that he kind of shied away from it. And again, it just goes to show you that, you know, sometimes we think we know what we're going to do, but sometimes we don't necessarily know ourselves as well as we think we do. Matter of fact, let's turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we'll read verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. And those verses read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So again, you know, think about what we read earlier on in regards to Psalm 139. The simple fact is, you know, God knows man better than we will ever know ourselves. He knows us intimately. And again, you know, David recognized this. And again, you know, David, again, going back to the fact that when David sinned, he repented and he came back to God. So, again, think of the many ways we could actually react to what the truth is. You know, think of the many ways that David could have actually reacted to the truth of God's word. You know, think of the ways that we actually react to the truth of God's word, especially if we feel ourselves kind of going in a downward spiral, in a sense. You know, how do we react to it? And, you know, when you really look at it, you probably have two major choices you can kind of take there. One path, you can kind of just say, okay, well, you know, I've kind of found myself in sin. I'll just continue on down this path because it's kind of difficult to straighten myself out right now. And of course, that other path is we can look at God's word and certainly understand that we need to be right with God, and we make those corrections in our lives. So certainly, you know, different ways that we can kind of go. But again, think about the word of God, how it identifies things to us and how we have that opportunity to correct those deficiencies that we see within that mirror. Right? Does anyone have any comments or questions before we go on to the next area here? Okay, and number two, and noticing the shortfall of man, we should, letter A, as I put here, not use men as our examples in life, since we're all sinners. And, you know, man can certainly lead us to other behaviors that are contrary to the word of God. And I think we all know that. Again, you look at the numerous denominations that we have in the world, and of so many different ways that we can find ourselves going wrong. And again, we have the word of God here, but sometimes our own personal interests or what have you might actually creep into the picture. And we tend to chase those a little bit more so than actually going after the word of God. And noticing the shortfall of all men, we should be follow Christ, because only he will set free. And let's read a few verses here. Can I get somebody to read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Okay.
Well, Jesus says he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth.
Let's also turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. That verse reads, "But we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And lastly, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. So certainly in seeing Jesus, you know, we do have this perfect example that we can try to emulate and try to follow after. And we talked about the fact that we should not follow man. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, we see Paul. Paul writes, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." So certainly if we find these godly men in our lives, then certainly that would be an excellent example to follow. But the simple fact is, you know, always take a look at who that individual is following and whether or not they're following the truth of God's word. And certainly if we find individuals who do follow God, follow Christ, and they follow them closely, and certainly, you know, imitating that individual. But at the same time, of course, as I stated before, we always have Christ that we can always try to emulate, and we can always follow in his footsteps. We should prepare and develop ourselves to follow Christ faithfully. And certainly, we should always be careful how we find ourselves walking in our life. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to take a look at verses. Well, we'll start with verse 25 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll read verse 25 and then we'll go down to verse 27 here. "And everyone who competes for this prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Verse 27 read, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." So certainly, you know, you think about this race that we all find ourselves in. And the simple fact is, it's a marathon. It is truly a long-term event. And the simple fact is, you know, we truly have to make sure that we ourselves are taking every opportunity to make corrections in our lives and to make sure that, again, we are out there doing the will of God. Let's take a look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. And these verses read, "Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." And let's also take a look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. That verse reads, "For if you live according to the flesh, you would die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So certainly, again, you know, you think about the fact that, again, we day by day as we go, you know, consider, you know, what type of individual we truly are. And what I mean by that is, you know, we find ourselves perhaps with a certain behavior by the time we come to church on Sunday and Monday through Saturday. You know, what type of individual are we? Are we still living by these same godly principles that we live by on Sunday? And the simple fact is, you know, I've seen individuals who Monday through Saturday, they're using all kind of language and they're doing all types of activities and things that are contrary to God's will. And then you perhaps will see some of these exact same individuals on Sunday. Now, again, you know, I just spoke about the fact that, yes, it's easy to see, you know, the faults of others. At the same time, you know, I guess if anything, think about the type of individual that we truly are and how we truly live our life and whether or not we are finding ourselves truly, you know, walking day by day, living by these godly principles. Under 2C, number 2, we read, be patient and be faithful. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And those verses read, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And let's also, we see a very similar comment over in Revelations chapter 2, verse 10 here. Revelations chapter 2, and verse 10. Those verses read, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And then lastly, let's turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 12. And you know, if you think about this concept of being faithful unto death, and again, you think about this reward that we will all receive, this crown that never rusts or that will never go away. And again, you know, you think about the things that we truly should be living for. You know, over in Matthew chapter 6, you know, Jesus talks about the fact that we saw the attitude of some of these Pharisees and how they did a lot of things to be seen by men, and how, you know, the treasure that they really wanted, the treasure that they truly had their heart on, was something that was perishable. It was here on this earth. But again, Jesus talks about this imperishable treasure that would never go away. And again, you know, in order to attain it, we have to find ourselves again being faithful and being faithful again unto death. James chapter 1 and verse 12 here. And that verse reads, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So again, you know, you see this concept of being faithful and this crown of life that will go to all of those who are faithful to God. And I'm going to ask if anyone has any questions or comments at this time. Okay, we'll actually stop here for today. And we will go over 3 and 4 next week. And I will ask you to do the questions. You should make it through 3, 4, and 5, I'm thinking, next week here. And we will do the questions as well. So, you know, certainly please take time to do the questions. I hope these questions are questions that you look at and truly, you know, consider the type of life that we're living and the type of life that we want to live. And again, consider whether or not we're actually looking at ourselves through the Word of God. All right, thank you.
Good evening. Just a few announcements here. William wasn't able to come out tonight because he's out working. Gene and Jerry, excuse me, Holloway are asking for prayers. Gene is having heart issues and needs our prayers. Good news is Kay Roberts tested negative for the COVID, so she's been doing better, so we should see her before long. We need you to continue to pray for Russell Timmons, Edith Birkebaugh, Kenny, and Sherry as they go through their treatments. Also, we really want to thank you for that lesson. Evening worship will be, Mark will be our song leader. Brent will have the opening prayer. And James will have the invitation. And Jake will have the closing prayer. Is there any other, anything I missed that we need to be said?
Gene does not feel well.
Oh, Gene isn't feeling well as well.
She's sick.
Well, I hope it's just the sniffles.
I'll have to cover up the chair for a little bit.
Before we have the invitation by Brother James, let's sing song number 594, which is The Lily of the Valley. I would encourage those that are joining us by Zoom to sing in your homes. Hopefully you've got a songbook there with you. But if not, hopefully you have heard this enough and sang it enough where you know most of the words. We'll sing all 3 verses of number 594, The Lily of the Valley.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs have taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I'm nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
After the invitation, we'll sing song number 315, 315, which is Oh, Why Not Tonight? Oh, Why Not Tonight? Song 315, all three verses.
And it is truly good to see everyone out this evening here. When you begin to think about the Word of God, and we talked about it, you know, the Word of God does produce many different outcomes. Sometimes we find individuals who willingly understand that they need to get themselves right with God, and they make those necessary corrections in their lives. And sometimes, and we see it quite often, even in the Word of God, you know, sometimes we see some very sad outcomes. And the Bible itself does show us several sad verses here. Outcomes of individuals who have been hit with the Word of God, but yet, you know, they tend not to be receptive of that word. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 17. And the first verses we'll take a look at would be verses 32 through 34. Acts chapter 17, verses 32 through 34. And these verses read, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others says, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius, Areopagite, a woman named Demarius, and others with them." And the point that I wanted to make here is, you know, as you kind of read through these verses here, you know, you see reactions to the Word of God that we actually still see today, and that some actually mocked the Word of God. Now, of course, some will hear and some will actually obey. But think about the fact that some will mock the Word of God here. Let's also look at some other sad outcomes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. Second Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at verses 17 and 18. "And there are those who, concerning the truth, have erred." Those verses read, "And their methods were spread like cancer, Hymenaeus and Philetus of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." Let's also turn over to James chapter 5 and verse 19. James chapter 5 and verse 19. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back," verse 20 reads, "let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." And the point that I wanted to make here was over in verse 19, where we see some can err from the truth. And we certainly see this quite a bit even today. Consider when we do err from the truth, we err from that which can actually make us free. Let's turn over to John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And again, actually, if you start with verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And let's also take a look at Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Those verses read, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So again, you know, think about the sad words and those sad outcomes of those who actually, concerning the truth, have erred. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24 there. And this verse reads, again, you know, sometimes the word of God will produce different outcomes. "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." Verse 25 tells us, "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Sometimes the word of God will, again, bring about different outcomes. And for some people, they'll push it away until they have a more convenient time. And the simple fact is, they'll never know if that more convenient time will ever come. I mean, the simple fact is, life itself is not promised to any of us. Let's also turn over to Matthew chapter 25. And verse 41. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. And Jesus says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And certainly, you know, you think about it, this is certainly something that we hope never to hear. You know, is this great judge telling us, "Depart from me"? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. And here we see Paul preaching the gospel to King Agrippa. And verse 28 reads, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuaded me to become a Christian.'" And again, almost, but never making it. Having God's word. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that, you know, the gospel itself is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So again, you know, you think about this concept of almost, or pushing away the word of God for some more convenient time. Think about the fact that, again, there have been those who have erred from the truth. To wrap this up, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. That verse reads, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience." And again, you know, you think about the fact that the Bible, it presents us with the word of God, the truth. And again, there's going to be a lot of different outcomes to it as to how people react to it. But certainly, you know, when you begin to dig into God's word, you do realize that it is the truth and that there is a need to get yourself right with God. If you're present this evening and you never obeyed the gospel, we certainly stand ready to assist. If you find yourself as a Christian who has fallen away from the faith, and you require the prayers of the saints, whatever your need may be, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, oh, tonight.
Made it out this evening to be with us here in person at the building, and of course those that are joining us by Zoom, we are grateful for your desire to study the Word of God, to learn more about the Scriptures, so that we may take those things and become better Christians, better workers in the kingdom, so that we might please our Lord. And so we are always grateful to see everyone who made it out.